Srila Prabhupada came to America. He had never seen snow. And when he saw snow for the first time in New York in 1965, Srila Prabhupada came. He said that that was the coldest winter in New York's recorded history. And Srila Prabhupada had come there, Calcutta boy. And Srila Prabhupada, when he woke up and he opened the curtains and looked out of the window, he said, "I thought someone had painted the whole city white," because he had never seen snow. So Srila Prabhupada was there in the cold. So sometimes when we see the snow and we think, "I don't want to go, I don't want to get up, and then I want to be inside in front of the fireplace," then we can remember Srila Prabhupada, who made that endeavor to bring Krishna consciousness to the world. And therefore we're all here. Srila Prabhupada ki. So this morning I didn't have a particular verse or anything in mind. There's different ways we can do it. Either we can just pick a random verse, or if you have a theme or a topic you want to speak about, then I can try and find something. Okay, so let me give you options. It's like when you call a call center and there's like all these numbers, you know. You can never find a human being on the other side. Sometimes Hare Krishna temples are like that. You ring the number, no one ever picks up. Prahlad Nandamari said, "You have to go back to the spiritual world to find a real devotee, real life devotee." Okay, so option one is I can just pick a verse. Option number two is if you have a theme, anyone is interested, then we can speak something from that. And option number three is there's the book Bhagavat and then there's the person Bhagavat. In other words, there's the Shastra, but then there's the Vaishnav who is living the Shastra. And one of the living Bhagavats in our life was His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And so the third option is that we can read from Srila Prabhupada's Lilamrita and then discuss from there. Okay, so there was some energy on that one. Option three, shall we do that? Yeah, is everyone agreed with that? Okay, let's do that. So let me get my Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita up. Just give me 1 second. It's the wonderful advantage. Okay, so Krishna, right? Krishna, can you give us a number between 1 and 6? 4. Everyone always goes in the middle. It's everyone's in the middle person. Okay, very good. And a number between 29 and 36. Okay, you chose for him, huh? 23. No, 29 and 36. 33? Okay. So the chapter is entitled "A Lot of Ground to be Covered." Okay, so this is the volume 4 of Srila Prabhupada's Lilamrita. So this is Srila Prabhupada's life between 1968 and 1971. And the title of this section of Prabhupada's life is Every Town and Village. Yes, because what year did Srila Prabhupada come to America? 65, Srila Prabhupada came to America. What year did Srila Prabhupada establish the first temple of ISKCON? 66. You can go, how many of you have gone to 26 Second Avenue, New York? Oh, only one. I also cannot put my hand up because I've never been myself. So you can go to that temple in 1966. That was the first temple established by Srila Prabhupada. Previous to being a temple, it was a shop. And what was the name of the shop? Matchless Gifts. Yes. And Srila Prabhupada, when he saw the sign and he wanted to make it into a temple, he said, "No, no, keep the sign. Because Krishna consciousness is a matchless gift. There's no gift like Krishna consciousness. So 66, Srila Prabhupada established the temple in New York. And then, after establishing Krishna consciousness in New York, Srila Prabhupada founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And basically, it was just a few hippies in the storefront of matchless gifts. And they were thinking, International Society? This is a few of us here. But Prabhupada had a vision. No, there are temples, there are books, there are devotees, there are thousands of projects, but only time is separating us from them. So then, after establishing that temple in 66, one devotee, he came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, "Okay, Srila Prabhupada, I got an idea to go to another place to start another temple." Does anyone know who that devotee was and where they went? Mukunda Goswami. And which place did he go to? San Francisco. So East Coast of America is like New York, Boston, all of that. And West Coast of America is like San Francisco, LA. East Coast and West Coast were completely different places, although in the same country. East Coast Americans are very serious, very conservative, very, you know, kind of more like civil. Although even in that time they were hippies, but West Coast was wild. You know, they talk about the Wild West. So the West Coast, Hare Krishna Prabhu. The West was quite wild, the West Coast. So that's where everyone was really doing a lot of drugs, a lot of, what was the motto of the hippie era? Sex, drugs, and spring rolls? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? Rock and roll. Not sex, drugs, and spring rolls. So Mukunda, he not only did he go to San Francisco, he went to a particular area in San Francisco to start a temple which was like the center of the hippie revolution. Does anyone know the name of that place? Haight Ashbury. Yes, very good. Yeah, someone's reading. Very good. Yes, so Haight Ashbury was where Srila Prabhupada was invited to come. So Srila Prabhupada, for the first time ever, he went on a plane. You see, Prabhupada had never been on a plane before that, because how did Prabhupada come from India to America? In a cargo ship. Jala, Duta. Jala means water. Duta means a messenger. So the messenger of the water. 2 months it took on that ship. Captain Pandya brought him. And Prabhupada had 2 heart attacks on that ship. So, actually, I'm wrong. Prabhupada actually went on a plane before this, because from New York he went back to India and then he came back again, I think. Anyway, one of the first times Prabhupada had been on that. So then Prabhupada went to San Francisco, and then the movement began in San Francisco. And in San Francisco, they had the first deities of who? Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. Remember that story? Malati had gone to the shop and she had found one figure. And she had come back and said, "Prabhupada, what's this?" "Prabhupada, bow down, it's Jagannath." "Were there 2 others also?" "Yes, I think so." "Go back, get them." And then she went back, she got the other 2 and brought them 3 small figures. And then Srila Prabhupada asked one of his disciples, "Can you carve these?" Who was that disciple? Shyam Sundar Prabhu. And so he began carving the deities of Jagannath. And there's the famous story that he was carving, he was the Stapati. Stapati means the one who makes the deity. It's a very sacred duty. But he was still smoking. So one time he was still carving the deities, and Prabhupada saw a cigarette packet on top of the Jagannath. So Prabhupada came in and said, "What's that?" Then Prabhupada with his cane, he didn't touch it. With his cane, he just went, pook, and flipped the cigarette packet off the deities. And then Prabhupada looked at Shamsund and he said, it's not, why are you letting such a small thing come between you and Krishna? Just give it up. Just give it up. And then that was enough, he gave it up. So the devotees, they had all these different kinds of habits, all these different kinds of... Mukunda, his name was previously what? Michael Grant. So Michael Grant, he was living in San Francisco. He had invited Srila Prabhupada, but Srila Prabhupada, you know, he was very new in Krishna consciousness. He didn't know so much. So... once in the car, they had gone from a program and the guest had given them dates. You know, isn't it? You can get these very high quality dates. So they had given a date. So Prabhupada was in the passenger seat. And so he opened it up and he started eating the dates. And then after eating part of the date, Mukunda, Michael Grant, he was driving. So Prabhupada ate it, took one bite. And then he's offered it to him. That's Mahamaha Prasad. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Bhakta Pada Duli or Bhakta Pada Jal, Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha Tina Mahabal. If you want to know the three most powerful substances in the universe, one of them is the foot dust, one of them is the water which has washed the charan of the pure devotee, and the other one is the Bhakta Bhukta, the remnants of their prasadam. But Michael Grant didn't know what is Maha Maha Prasadam. So he was looking at this thinking, he's eaten it, his saliva is on it, how I will eat this? I can't eat this. This is someone, it's been in someone else's mouth. So he was feeling like, oh my God, this is like, but then he thought, no, Swamiji, he must be giving me for a reason. Maybe it has some spiritual relationship. Maybe it's a sign of love. So then he accepted it. He took it. He saw there was one bite had been taken out of the date. So Pop said, yeah. So he thought, oh my, I have to eat this. So then he took one bite and he ate it. And then he gave it back to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, how you can give back to them? So they didn't know. They were so young. They were so new. Michael Grant, he had a cat. And you know what the name of the cat was? Skuzzlebunga. He had a cat called Skuzzlebunga. So one time in the morning, he was in his apartment. It was a mess. The cat was there. And he was watching cartoons. It's like hippies, yeah, this is what they do. And then he got a phone call, Swamiji. Prabhupada said, I'm coming. He said, oh my God, Prabhupada's coming. So Prabhupada came into his apartment. He saw it was so messy. He said, anyway, Swamiji, please sit down. So Prabhupada sat on the sofa. And as soon as Prabhupada sat on the sofa, the cat came and jumped on Prabhupada. You know, like in Vedic culture, like a cat or a dog, if it jumps on you, it's like a, not such a clean animal. Anyway, Prabhupada was tolerating, and then Prabhupada looked at the TV and he saw the cartoons. He said, what is this? So Michael said, this is cartoons. Prabhupada said, this is a waste of time. He said, this is a waste of time. And Michael Grant said, ever since then, he didn't watch cartoons. So Srila Prabhupada came like this, and then he spread the movement and he established other temples in America. So you're seeing the progression? Prabhupada comes to America, 65. 66 establishes New York. 67 establishes San Francisco. And then he sent some devotees to Montreal and other places in America. So now America was growing. Many, many temples. But then Srila Prabhupada said, we should also go outside of America. So then where did he send his disciples first? London. So then he sent his six devotees and the daughter Saraswati, and they came to London. Which year was that? No? No? 69. The devotee. The year that man landed on the moon was the year that the devotees came to London. So when man landed on the moon, then what did Neil Armstrong famously say? It's one small step for man, but one giant leap for mankind. So actually the real purpose of that was that it was one small journey for the devotees to come to London, but it was one giant leap for the future of the world. So then 69, the devotees came. So now we are dealing with every town and village. Now Srila Prabhupada is on a mission. He wants to go to every town and village. Prabhupada was never satisfied. Prabhupada said, my only disease is that I'm always thinking big. Think big. Prabhupada was always thinking big. So Srila Prabhupada, he never thought small. Even when Srila Prabhupada came to Mayapur, then one day there were only a few devotees in Mayapur. And Prabhupada said, I want you to buy all the land in Mayapur. The devotees thought, we can't even deal with this land. Like, what will we do with all the land? So Prabhupada said, no, I want you to buy all the land in Mayapur. So even that already was like a big instruction. And then Prabhupada said, and then what I want you to do is apply to the Indian government for independence. I want you to create the country of Mayapur. Mayapur should be its own country. It's the spiritual capital of the world. Yeah. So devotees thought, oh my God, buy all the land, then apply for independence, create your own country. And then Prabhupada said, and then I want you to create our own currency. One Chaitanya, five Chaitanyas, ten Chaitanyas. And then Prabhupada said, every temple president will be an ambassador of the country of Mayapur. Amazing, huh? So Prabhupada was always thinking big. So, and then later on, after spreading Krishna consciousness in the Western world, then Srila Prabhupada decided that now we have to go and spread Krishna consciousness back in India. This is called the pizza effect. You know this one? Pizza is from which country? Italy. But did you know, at a certain point in history, no one in Italy really ate much pizza because it was seen as a poor man's food. Pizza is a poor man's food. Sorry, I know we had yesterday. It's good. We love pizza, actually. No? Actually, in Italy, no one was eating pizza. It was a poor man's food. But then something happened which changed the whole conception. And you know what it was, right? Pizza went to America. And then you had all pizza became big in America. Right? You had all these pizza, deep pan pizza, Pizza Hut, I don't know what they had there. Domino's pizza. And then once the Americans took it up, then in Italy it was like, oh no, pizza, this is our food, we should have, you know, and then it became popular in Italy again. So this is called the pizza effect. So similarly, Krishna consciousness was in India, but in India no one was taking seriously. I know everything, no, we want technology, we want advancement, we want material enjoyment, we want economic development, we want to imitate the West. So then Srila Prabhupada, because Indians were neglecting their culture, he said, I'll go to America and then I'll come back and I'll share it with India. So then Srila Prabhupada came back. And when Srila Prabhupada came back to India, he was like a hero. Because he was the one, you see. You know what Srila Prabhupada once said? He said, people say Gandhi was great because Gandhi kicked the English out of India. But what I did is I brought them back and made them servants of Krishna. He just took them out of India, but I went out of India and I brought them back and made them become servants of Krishna. Mukunda Das, Shamsunda Das, Malati Dasi, all servants. So this was Srila Prabhupada's greatness. So now Srila Prabhupada is back in India. Shall we read a little bit? So this is Indore. Indore in India. Indore is not too far away from, you know which place? Ujjain, Avantipur. Avantipur, Ujjain is the place where Krishna went to Gurukul, yes. So not too far away from there is Indore. December 3rd, 1970. Please listen carefully. India continued to be like a dream for Prabhupada's disciples, who gazed out the windows as the train moved them through India's unfamiliar rural world. The trackside bushes blossomed in yellow. Mile after mile of irrigated agricultural fields passed by. Wheat, rice, sugarcane, and varieties of dal. Small villages, mud-walled houses with straw roofs or thatched walls with tiled roofs drifted peacefully by. An occasional village temple made of stone would rise above the surrounding temple structures. Cowherd boys with sticks tended their herds on grassy banks of meandering streams, and the grazing cows, the oxen plowing in the ancient fields, the dung patties drying in the sun for fuel, the sun smoke rising from the cooking fires, and the smell of the warm earth, all were part of a peaceful, simple way of life the devotees were coming to appreciate through Prabhupada's association. So one of the reasons Srila Prabhupada wanted to take devotees to India is so that they could see the simple life. Simple living, by thinking. They say nowadays we're simply living and no thinking. Simply living, no thinking. Right? So Srila Prabhupada wanted them to go and see what it means to live in a village. Has anyone here lived in a village? Yeah, some. Okay. Many have not lived in a village. See, Balaram, city slicker. Me neither. See, many of us, we don't know, you know. It's like when we come into a house, the first thing is, what's the Wi-Fi password here? You know, if there's no Wi-Fi password, it's like, you know, feeling separation from the Wi-Fi. I am experiencing one moment to be like 12 years or more, and all the hairs of my body are. See, so we can't live without technology. See, nowadays people have become so dependent on an artificial way of life. If we don't have our phones, if we don't have cars, you know, snow comes, everything grinds to a halt. We can't live because it's so unnatural. So I was telling the devotees in Birmingham this. You know how Kali Yuga progresses? First thing is you have to buy food. This is a symptom of Kali Yuga. In traditional culture, you never buy food, isn't it? In a village, you can go to anyone's house and take. You take food off the tree. How you can buy food? That's the most simple necessity of life. In Kali Yuga, you have to start buying food. Restaurants, big business. But you know how Kali Yuga progresses even further? Not only you have to buy food, but you have to buy water. Everyone is buying water now, isn't it? Stack up all the mineral water. Why? Buy water, bottle water. You just go to a stream and drink water. But you can't because it's polluted now. Kali Yuga means you have to buy water. And you know how Kali Yuga progresses even more? Not only you have to buy food, not only you have to buy water, but what do you have to buy? Air. And believe it or not, if you go to the Orient, Far East now, sometimes people are walking around with a gas canister and a mask because there's so much pollution that they can't breathe that air. Yeah, we were just in Delhi. I was in someone's car, and in the car they have a pollution meter. So he was showing me the pollution meter in Delhi. It's like if you go out in Delhi, it's like smoking like is that how much it is, yeah? Statistically, if you just breathe the air of Delhi, it's like smoking 2,500 cigarettes in a year. So everyone has broken the regulative principles. Right. Intoxication. That's the world we're living in. Right? So Srila Prabhupada wanted the devotees to go to the village and see what it means to live simply, what it means to live peacefully, what it means to save time. Save time so that you have time for real things. In this world we're working so much, you'd have to work so hard. Like once I was on the street, so one man was walking, so I said, "Sir, we're monks, no time." No, we're teaching people about meditation. No time. No, but we're just trying to share some wisdom. No time. Okay, no problem. Have a good day. No time. No time for anything. Just no time. So when you live simply, then you save time. You save time for the real purpose of life. So every devotee in their life, if they actually want to become deeply Krishna conscious, they have to think about how to simplify their life. Without simplifying your life, it will become very difficult to be Krishna conscious. If you complicate things, if you make your lifestyle very, very extravagant, then it will be very difficult to be Krishna conscious because it will take so much of your time and energy. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada wanted the devotees to go to India and see simple living, high thinking. So Prabhupada had organized a festival there in Indore. On the first night of the festival, Prabhupada was scheduled as the last speaker. His disciples who sat with him on stage grew bored and restless from the ordeal of so many hours of Hindi speeches. And knowing that these speakers were presenting Mayavad misconceptions made the evening especially painful. Srila Prabhupada sat sternly and waited, his hand in bead bag, his head held high, his lips murmuring the Hare Krishna mantra. So Prabhupada, they went to this mela, many speakers were there, and most of them were speaking Mayavad philosophy. You understand Mayavad philosophy? It means people think Krishna is Maya, every material body is Maya, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Only Brahman is real, and everything and everyone and all identity is a delusion. And therefore, we're all God. Aham Brahmasmi Tattvam. See, wow, you guys are all Pakamayavadis, huh? You know, all the mantras. Yeah. Once I was walking down the street, and there was one boy, he had a t-shirt, and it said, "I used to be an atheist." I thought, wow, that's promising. I used to be an atheist. And then he walked past me, and then the back of it said, "And then I realized, I am God." I thought, oh no. Prabhupada said, the last snare of Maya is to think you are God. Therefore, Prabhupada could not tolerate Mayavad. Mayavadi bhasha sunile hoya sarva nash. If you hear Mayavad philosophy, the idea that you are God, hoya sarva nash, you lose everything. When Prabhupada finally spoke, so now Prabhupada had been hearing, now they asked him, "Okay, you speak, your turn to speak." When Prabhupada finally spoke, he began by explaining that in the West he was spreading the teachings of Gita as it is. Bhagavad Gita, he said, could be properly understood only in disciplic succession. Just as Arjuna, the original student of the Bhagavad Gita, had understood it. The Gita was for the devotee of Krishna and should not be misinterpreted by non-devotees. To misinterpret the Gita, he said, was to cheat in the name of religion. He also spoke strongly against pseudo-incarnations. So Srila Prabhupada was saying so many people have the Gita in India. But the first problem for Indians is that even though they have the Gita, they don't read the Gita. Isn't it? But then, even if they read the Gita, the next problem is they can't understand the Gita. Because who cannot? It's very difficult to understand. So many people, they just read the verses, but they don't actually understand. What does it all mean in my life? Many people are like that. You can go to India today, there are people who take a vow that every day they will read all the verses of the Gita. But does it mean they know the Gita? So then the third problem is, some people read the Gita, they realize they don't understand it, so then what they do is they go to a teacher to try to understand it, but the teacher doesn't teach them the right philosophy. It's a Mayavad. And just like Srila Prabhupada would say, one commentator, he says, we all know who it is, but we won't say here. One commentator says, when Krishna says, man mana pavamad bhakto, engage your mind in thinking of me, become my devotee, surrender to me, it is not to Krishna, but is to the unborn within Krishna. So then, that is not Bhagavad Gita as it is. That's Bhagavad Gita as you think it is. So Srila Prabhupada said, no, you should understand evam parampara praptam imam raja shayo vidu sakalene mahata yoga nashta parantapa. This is the problem. Yoga nashta. The supreme science has been lost. People don't get it. They don't. I asked one Indian, what's the conclusion? He said, I know Gita. I know. I said, what's the conclusion of the Gita? He says, Krishna says, do what you want to do. I said, yata icha tatha kuru. I said, yeah, that statement is there, but I think so, that's not the ultimate conclusion. Because even after Krishna says that, he says, but you are my dear, very dear friend. Shrinu me padamam vacha. Now you hear my padamam vacha, my ultimate instruction. Just become my devotee. So people don't get it. They miss the point. They lose the thread. So Srila Prabhupada said, you have to learn. You see, Shastra... Oh wow, someone's throwing snowballs at us. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a war out there. It's okay. It's all right. It's Wally Range after all. Okay? Otherwise, we got the Pandavasena here. They're ready. They're ready to. Oh, it's probably Madhav Kumar. Oh, that's it. Maybe they're trying to get our attention. Yeah, the door could be locked. Yeah, that's what it is. Thank you. It's locked. That's probably he's trying to get our attention. Oh, okay, it's Dhruv. Okay, I'll just read one last thing and then we'll... Or maybe I'll stop here and see, because it's 9 o'clock. Does anyone have any questions or any comments or anything you would like to ask or... Any reflection anyone has? Yes, Prabhu.
Sometimes, like for at least me, it's very difficult to be that visionary, you know. Even for going for book distribution, sometimes I have a feeling inside, oh, whether, you know, people will take or not, that kind of, you know, hesitation to go sometimes. So how I can, of course, like Prabhupada is on the different level, but how I can also be visionary and at least I will not hesitate to spread Krishna consciousness.
The first and foremost thing is you have to become convinced. If we are not convinced of how amazing Krishna consciousness is, if we're not experiencing Krishna, if we're not finding happiness through the process, how will we feel the urgency to go out there and give it to others? If a book distributor is miserable, they'll go out on the street and they'll think, my God, these guys are happier than me. Maybe I should do what they're doing. You know? How you will? Because Prabhupada was convinced, because Prabhupada felt Krishna, because Srila Prabhupada was experiencing susukam kartum avyayam, that this process is so joyful. Therefore, when you have something so amazing, there's no doubt, there's no hesitation, there's no sense of, should I give it to them, should I not give it to them. You're like, this is the most amazing thing in creation. Of course I have to give it to them. Therefore, for Srila Prabhupada, there was no wasting time. There was no risk that he would not take. There was no adventure that he would not go on to give Krishna consciousness, because he said, this is the, what is the first line, the very first line of the Bhagavad, Srimad Bhagavatam? No, that's the first verse. But what's the first line that Prabhupada writes in the preface of Srimad Bhagavatam? We need to understand this. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam is Srila Prabhupada's magnum opus. You understand magnum opus? Magnum opus means it's the most important book that he translated. Now everyone's looking on their phone. Yeah, let me also look. I know what it is, but I want to say it right. This is the very first line that Srila Prabhupada writes in Srimad Bhagavatam. Listen carefully. The very first line. Powerful. We must know the present need of human society. We must know the present need of human society. So when you know that you have something which everyone needs, then you won't be able to sleep. You will want to give it to others. Srila Prabhupada couldn't, he said, when I sleep, I feel like I'm simply wasting time. Right? So for hardly sleeping. Because every waking hour, because he was convinced. So we're not convinced yet. We're kind of like, Krishna is nice, but other things are also nice. Krishna consciousness gives me some joy, but it's also quite hard. The devotees are nice, but a few of them, I mean, they're a bit out of it, you know. So we're not fully convinced. But when you're more and more convinced, you will realize what there's nothing else to do in life. This is what we have to do. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada once said to Harisari Prabhu, preaching is easy business. All you have to do is show people how happy you are. Can you become a happy devotee? Can you become a genuinely happy devotee? Not just a devotee that puts on a smiling face when you come to the temple so that everyone thinks, yeah, like, he's okay. No. But then what's behind that smiling face? Not that, no, I just attend all the programs, I come to the classes so that everyone will think I'm okay. But then inside we're kind of like, I don't know if about this Krishna. I don't know. No, we have to experience it. Then it will come automatically. So that's the first thing I would say. Become convinced. And then your next question will be, How do I become convinced? Therefore, you have to practice. Shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam padasevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakyamat minivedanam. This is spiritual technology. If you do it, it works. But you have to do it regularly, without offense, seriously, intensely, with focus. Whatever effort you put into building your material life, I guarantee you, if you put even 10% of that effort into spiritual life, you'll be flying. Imagine all the risks people took to build their career. Imagine all the sacrifices people took to grow up their family. Imagine all the investment of time and energy people made to establish a place where they could live, a house. So much energy, so much effort. People turn their life upside down. Imagine how much people turn their life upside down so their child can have a good education. They'll relocate to another place halfway across the world just so their child can have a good education. In life, we make so much effort and sacrifice. But who is making even 10% of that sacrifice and effort to find Krishna? The person who does will find Krishna. And when you find Krishna, you'll say, I want everyone else to also have the opportunity. And you'll have a big vision. It's okay?
Yes, thank you very much, Maharaj.
Good. Anyone else like to make? Yes.
Thank you for your wonderful lecture. Since we had discussed regarding the simplicity, I would like to understand from you how can we become more simple and get more knowledge.
Yeah, how to become more simple. First thing is we have to be simple in our lifestyle and habits. You see, if we are continuously expanding our lifestyle, 2 houses, 2 phones, too much, you see, then to maintain such a complicated lifestyle is going to take a lot of energy. It's going to take a lot of, you see, like one of my good friends, he earns so much money. I mean, I'm talking like 6 figures. But the amazing thing is, his lifestyle is such that he's constantly in anxiety. I'm like, why are you in anxiety? You're earning like 6 figures of money. He's like, no, I got to work. I got to make sure I do well. Because if I lose this job, I'm not going to be able to pay all these bills. And I'm like, he's created such a lifestyle for himself. This person should just be living without anxiety. He could just work for 2 years and retire and be totally fine if he had a simple lifestyle. But because he has such a complicated lifestyle, he has to work so hard. So the first thing is, small is beautiful. But you may say, but I like some big thing. I like this car. You know, I need a... Mataji's need a big kitchen, isn't it? It's like one of the things, they like big kitchen, you know, it's like a big thing. Of course, yeah. So maybe some things you need, but in general, don't try increase the fever of material life, isn't it? Once there was this queen, Prabhupada tells this story, there was a queen, and she had a maidservant. And the maid servant had a fever. So I don't know, what is a fever? Like 90... What is it? What is a fever? Like anyway, whatever it is, 99 degrees or something. And so the doctor came and said, 99, maid servant, 99. And the queen said, 99? What am I? He said, you're 97. Because 97, I want to be more than her. You make me 101. He's like, why? You're going to die. You don't increase your feet. No, I want to be more. So it's very interesting. Prabhupada said, we're increasing the fever of material life, thinking, I want to be more, I want to be more, I want to be bigger, I want to be higher, I want to be on top. Once Prabhupada, he went to Dai Nippon. You know, Dai Nippon means the Japanese firm that were printing Prabhupada's book. So he went to the kind of CEO. It's like a, you know, Japanese. So Prabhupada was sitting in front of him. Prabhupada said, what is the goal of your life? And you know what he did? You know what he did? He pulled out a stack of business cards. And these were all of the business cards of his acquaintances. And you know what he did in front of Prabhupada? He said, what's the goal of your life? He pulls out this stack of business cards. He pulls one out of the bottom, which is his own business card. And he goes, boom, like this, on top. And Prabhupada could understand, this is the goal of it. He wants to outdo all of his competitors. He wants to be the best, the top dog. But even if you're the top dog, ultimately, you're still a dog. They say, even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. So somehow or other, we need to live in this world and try to simplify things. You know, it's beautiful if you simplify things. That's the first thing of simplicity. And then another aspect of simplicity is we should be simple in our dealings with other people. We should be straightforward, isn't it? Sometimes we say one thing, thinking another thing. Or sometimes we tell lies, or we act in very hypocritical ways. So this is also not good for spiritual life. Simple means be what you see is what you get. Be very honest. We should be simple in speech, how we speak. You know. So like this is simplicity. And when we have this simple life, actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had one aphorism. Saralata Vaishnavatva. Saralata Vaishnavatva means simplicity is Vaishnavism. Because if we're not simple, it will be very difficult to be a devotee. Therefore, Prabhupada said, simple living, I think. Yeah, someone here had a question? Yeah. Just tell me when I should stop. Okay.
Maharaj, the this maybe is linked to the first query that you answered, but when Srila Prabhupada spoke and preached, when we preach in the same way that Srila Prabhupada preached, we do not get the same results as Srila Prabhupada, and that's why we now do all these other styles of preaching. So what is the reason for this? And that's the first part. And if we are doing other techniques in the present day, is that okay, realistically? Or is that due to our lack of advancement or sincerity, and then we need to go deeper in our spiritual life? So when we're not maybe more than a sadhaka, then we'll be able to convince people like that.
Okay. There are two general approaches to this question, and then this is my opinion, which is obviously the right one. No. So anyway, let me just tell you the broad approaches to this. Srila Prabhupada was strong, isn't it? Very strong. Svavidvarahostrakure samstuta purusha pashu nayat karana patopeto jatu nama gadagraja. Srila Prabhupada went out and he says, you all are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. You think like, oh my God, you know, it's like a chopper technique, you know. Like, Prabhupada was strong. One time there was this Mr. Sethi. You know this Mr. Sethi? He was, I think it was Mr. Sethi or someone, rich life member in Mumbai. So he was giving so much, big donor. So the devotees came to introduce him, give him some mercy, he's giving so much to the movement. So they thought, give him some, he should get the blessings of Swamiji. So they brought him to Prabhupada. Prabhupada looked at him and he said, what do you do in the morning? He said, I usually get up 8, 9 o'clock. I mean, already you can see it's heading for not a good direction, you know. Then Prabhupada said, what do you do when you get up at 8, 9 o'clock? He said, I know, I have breakfast. Sometimes I have breakfast in bed. Breakfast in bed. This is like a English tradition. Prabhupada said, what is the difference between you and a pig? And the devotees were there thinking, oh my God, no, Prabhupada, he's one of the good guys, you know, like he's helping us out, he's like, you know. And then this businessman, he said, Prabhupada just looked me in the eye. And with the deepest compassion, Prabhupada looked me in the eye and said, why are you wasting your life? Human life is so rare. Why are you wasting your life? And he said, this man, he said it with such compassion, with such love. In my life, I felt this was the first person in my life who was not trying to flatter me, but just tell me the truth. And he just surrendered to Srila Prabhupada. So Bhagavatam says, Tatodu sangamot srijya sadhu satseta buddhiman shanta eva syachindanti manovya sangam uktibi. The sadhu, his words are razor sharp. And they can manovya sangam uktibi, they can cut the attachments. Mahabharata says the words of a politician are like butter, but their heart is like a razor. And the sadhu's words are like a razor, but the heart is like butter. So Prabhupada was like that, such a soft heart but strong, you know. So then some people ask, should we speak like Srila Prabhupada? Should we present it as it is? Some people say, yes, we are followers of Prabhupada, we should follow in the same way. And some people say, no, Prabhupada could do it because he had the realization. We don't have that kind of realization, we don't have that compassion. If we say it, it's simply an imitation, therefore we should speak according to our realization. I think there is truth in both statements. And I think it also depends on personality. I think there are some of us in the room who will be able to connect to many people by being, by packaging the philosophy in a very beautiful contemporary way. And there are some of us in this room who will be able to reach many hearts by just speaking direct Krishna consciousness. Both of those techniques can work if there is deep compassion and concern in the heart. And therefore I don't think there is a way to preach. The real way to preach is to love the people. Some people love to preach, but the real preacher loves the people he preaches to. So if you have compassion and a genuine heart of concern, you know, people understand more than the language of your words. They understand the language of your heart. So, there's no problem. We can do both. We can be straight. We can be, you know, like, and then bring them to the point. If you're going to go on that technique of doing like different things which bring people to Krishna in a seemingly roundabout or what we call bridge way, just make sure you have a route by which you're going to bring them back to the real thing. Make sure you have it in your mind that I'll start here, but ultimately I'll bring them here. Otherwise you bring them onto the bridge and then they just spend the rest of their life on the bridge. They never come back to the other side. They're just living on the bridge. You want to live on a bridge? I don't live on a bridge. A bridge is good to get to the other side. So you've got to bring them to the other side. So we're all individual, you know. Shastra also says, Vajradapi Kathaurani Mriduni Kusumadapi Lokataranam Chaitanam Konavegyatumishvaraha. The Vaishnav is Vajra. Understand? Vajra. What does Vajra mean? A thunderbolt. Kusum. What does Kusum mean?
Flower.
Vajradapi Kathaurani Mriduni Kusumadapi. The Vaishnav is harder than the thunderbolt and softer than the rose. So should we be one or the other? Both? Prabhupada said you should have the courage of an English soldier and the love of the Bengali mother. I don't know how courageous English soldiers are nowadays, but you get the point. You have to have courage and the heart of compassion. Both. I don't know. Hopefully that helps. We can unpack it more. Alright, I think time is going on. Unless anyone has any really burning... Okay. Balaram is burning.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you spoke about Prabhupada dreaming big and thinking big. So when you said that, I was just thinking about our Pandavasena. Yeah. And I was thinking, what big things can we dream about and be working towards as of now, together? Because we have some boys and they're all doing services, their sadhana is nice. And now is the...
And girls.
Now we just need some destination. Some.
You guys can do amazing. You have to have the spirit. You see, if you have the spirit, you can reach many people. You can go out, you can put a festival on. You can go out, you can distribute books. You can go out into the university. You just have to have the spirit amongst yourselves that we're going to go out there and we're going to change the world. We're going to do something amazing to change the world. We're going to have an adventure. I found that everything I wanted to do in terms of adventure as a youth, through the Krishna consciousness movement, I was able to do it in the most profound way. You want to travel? Just become a devotee. You'll travel everywhere. You want to, you know, organize events? Just become a devotee. There's so many festivals, so many things you can do. You want to, you know, challenge the way the world is? Be a rebel. Be a devotee. They're the biggest rebels, you know. Everything I wanted to do in my life as a kid, to have an exciting life, I realized that because of Krishna consciousness, I was able to do it in the most profound, amazing way. You know, if for example, if you're a performer, then Krishna consciousness is amazing. Like, you'll have so many chances to perform, to be in front of audiences and offer that service to them. You all just have to be united, you have to be inspired, and you have to, don't be shy, don't be scared. Just go out there and pick something. You know, all of you are the future of ISKCON Manchester. So you have to create the future. It's not that you just come into this building and you think, okay, this is the temple and this is what it is. You have to think, what do we want ISKCON Manchester to be? This is what? The third biggest city in the UK? Must be, right? After Birmingham? After London and Burning Hell, I call it. It's nice, Birmingham, basically. Or Manchester's nicer. Hopefully it's Manchester is such an amazing city. So many university students. This is like the cutting edge. This is where it's all happening. And you are all the caretakers of Prabhupada's interest here. What do you see as the future of ISKCON Manchester? You're the youth. You have to take it up. So... Srila Prabhupada was in 26 Second Avenue. He was spinning a globe. You know that? Govinda Dasi tells this story. He had a globe in his room and he would just spin it. And Prabhupada would say, and Brahmananda, he will go to this place, and this person will go to Russia, and this person, Prabhupada's dreaming. Once Rukmini Mataji, she came and Prabhupada was speaking like this, and he will go here and he will go there. And then she said, and even the girls, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, even the girls. In Krishna consciousness, there's no restriction. Preacher means empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So everyone can do amazing things. If you do it now, you'll look back at your life in 20 years and you'll look back and you said you'll have so many stories to tell. One devotee used to say to me, don't fill your life with things. Fill your life with stories to tell. You want to fill your life with things? That's not very exciting. Fill your life with stories to tell. And you know where the most amazing stories come from? When you go out and you spread Krishna consciousness. So actually, Manchester Pandavas, you guys are very unique actually. Because there are many, we have youth groups all over. But you guys have an energy, you have talent. You have some real good friendship amongst yourselves. You're inspired. And you know, sometimes some of you may be having more difficulties, some maybe, and then it always changes. So you know, like when you're like birds are flying together, you know how it works, right? When birds, you know, they fly in a formation like this. So the one who's at the front has to take the most air resistance because you're right at the front. So that's the most difficult position. So what they do is periodically they change so that when that one becomes a little weak, then it goes to the back and another one comes forward. So help each other, be together, be unified. And if you work together from that unity and that cooperation amongst yourselves, Krishna will do amazing things. Yeah. So you guys have such a good energy. You have talent, you have a great city here to preach, you have, you know, your elders who are supporting you, do something amazing. It's the best thing you can do with your life. 2023 is coming. Have a goal. Say, by in 2023, we, Pandavasena, ISKCON Manchester, this is what we're going to do for Srila Prabhupada in this city. And just make a goal and just do it. You know, just do it. And Srila Prabhupada will give you all empowerment and blessings. And you'll have loads of stories to tell. It's the greatest adventure. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jai Nitai, Gaura Premanande. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Yeah.